It's time for Movie Wars. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wars is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. How are you both?
Struggling with all of these wires and headphones and clip mics.
Our pursuit of ever better audio continues.
Yeah, this is kind of all my fault. I'm desperately trying. In fact, if anyone knows an audio engineer that would be willing to do a bit of pro bono work for Movie Wallers, I'd really appreciate some advice. We've got mixing boards here. We've got clip mics, all in the pursuit of better sound quality. So let us know how we're doing. mail@moviewallers.com. You watching the Olympics? Yes, Dee?
Not as much as I'd like to. I would like to have like 20 channels playing Olympics all the time. I don't want to watch what NBC tells me I should watch when I have the TV on. And I hate that I don't have the choice. It really bothers me.
I'm hating the time delay.
I know. It bugs me that I know the results of all the big things before. And I'm really trying to stay off the grid. I mean, you know, I'm not a big Facebook user, but one of my coworkers, she keeps getting like, oh, somebody just posted on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I didn't want to know. And I mean, today my iPhone just pinged because USA Today app came up and told me the results of the gymnastics. It's like, really? Like, it's really hard to disconnect in this modern world.
Yeah, and I think if NBC paid like $1 billion or whatever, you know, for exclusive rights, it doesn't show anywhere else. I think they should have bothered to, you know, have multiple channels with a little bit more. I mean, they have so much content. They're probably showing a 1-2% of what's at their, you know, what's available to them.
Agree. Right. In the evenings, I think there are about 3 channels. Bravo's showing it too, but MSNBC and NBC as well. So there's more choice in the evening, but I hate the fact that, like you said, Joe, we know the result before we go in.
Yeah. Boo, here's to tape delay. But then, you know what? The alternative would be having to DVR it all day and then coming home and there'd be nothing on. So I don't know. What's the right answer? Who knows?
So on to our Olympic review session.
Yes.
Bad segue.
So we have 3. I know that was a terrible segue, but someone had to do it. So we have 3 movies to review: The Watch, Trishna, and Savages. So which one do you want to do first? Let's do The Watch. So Yesdi, tell us all about The Watch.
Certainly. So originally titled The Neighborhood Watch, but shortened since then to just The Watch in light of the recent incident with Trayvon Martin. This is a film that stars Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and Richard Ayoade. These men, all inhabitants of a small Ohio town, decide to form a neighborhood watch in response to some increasingly odd happenings that start to pop up all around town, not least of which is a brutal killing in the local Costco warehouse where Ben Stiller works as the store manager. As they start investigating the events, it becomes evident that they may be out of their means because they could be contending with a full-out alien invasion. This comedy, yes, comedy, was directed by Akiva Schaffer, whose previous work involved Saturday Night Live on television. The film boasts Seth Rogen as a writer, along with Jared Stern and Evan Goldberg. The film also stars the lovely Rosemary DeWitt and not-so-lovely Will Forte. So I know all 3 of us saw this. Rashmi, tell us what you thought.
Okay, so I think this sets out to be a modern-day Ghostbusters meets the UK Attack on the Block, but ends up making you feel like you just got slimed, wet and sloppy, just like the story. I didn't hate this in the moment, but this is just way too dispensable considering the comedic heft acting in the movie.
My turn. So I'm going to sing for you.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God.
Vulgari. Oh, Vulgari. Oh. Now, we went to this winery on Sunday, so I'm all Italian mood, but this movie was just, what? I hated this. I mean, you know, hate is a strong word because it was adequately entertaining while we were there, but I just felt that this had nothing going for it. I mean, the story made no sense whatsoever. It was a complete fail in that regard. And the aliens attack suburbia was much better done in last year's Attack the Block, which, Rashmi, I think you know I would probably said that.
Yeah,
I mean, this might be one of those movies where we are completely aligned. I mean, I can see how this is a film that works on paper. And I can see how the likes of Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill getting excited about it and signing up for it. So I really don't know what got lost in the translation from paper to film. But where the film should have had a giddy, nasty energy about it, perhaps like a film we might be discussing later on, most of this comes off really flat. Yes, there are a few funny pieces and some really hilarious dialogue, but it just does not stick together. I lost interest in this movie at about the halfway point and there was no going back. I was really waiting for this movie to end. It couldn't end soon enough.
Yeah, I just think it suffers from being a really lazy story. Lazy, lazy, lazy. And I feel like it's just way too predictable. And the most horrible thing for me was everyone was overacting.
Yeah, I think the problem was the tone of the film. I think they're going for a really broad, you know, balls to the wall kind of tone, but it really doesn't work all the time. So it comes off as this hybrid between hyper-realistic and surreal, and there's this whole plot thrown in about infertility somewhere in there. It's like something you're baking which refuses to bake.
I think the problem they had is that they're trying so hard to make you laugh in every single scene. It's like a gag, a scene. It almost becomes a chore to watch. And I think that it straddled that line of dirty, trying to be dirty funny, vulgar, like you said, Joe. And it just makes you feel dirty. And how predictable Seth Rogen wrote it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
What else did we expect? I mean, he's probably like high on a joint by the time he's writing the third scene.
I mean, when I was preparing the intro, actually, a lot of the movie made sense to me. I mean, this director, all of his previous work has been, you know, doing little episodic skits on Saturday Night Live. And, you know, it's an able effort, but the whole movie feels like it's pieced together by little comedic action pieces, which are strung together. And again, when you realize that Seth Rogen was one of the writers, you know, a lot of the dialogue makes sense as well.
Yeah.
Go on. I mean, and my other peeve with the movie is, you know, we have seen this particular story now countless numbers of times. I mean, you know, Men in Black did this so beautifully 15 years ago. And, you know, we've had a second sequel to it out there. And, you know, if you're not going to bring something new to the table, you know, in terms of a funny movie about aliens, you know, don't do it. You know, make a movie about something else. I really wish they'd brought something here.
It kind of reminded me in tone of one of the movies that we first reviewed here on Movie Wallace, which was Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes.
Do you remember that really odd vibe of comedy that doesn't quite come together? Mm-hmm. And you have this really strange mishmash and it doesn't feel right. And there's some serious moments which don't fit. And then, like you said, Yazdi, it is then just this sequence of set pieces. I mean, you know, there's the basement set piece, there's the Costco set piece, there's the... Having said that, I sound like I absolutely hated it, whereas I think I just kind of hated it. It wasn't a horrible experience. I watched the movie and I didn't lose interest in what was happening.
Yeah,
it was
you just, didn't hysterically laugh either, and I was
no,
sitting next
it
to
wasn't
both
enjoyable.
Of you. And what was interesting to me was that most people around us were laughing. Now, granted, that was the general public.
There's the
that
general
didn't
public,
come out right.
And then there's Rashmi.
That didn't quite come out like it was meant to.
It's all right. We know what you mean, princess.
I guess what you mean is it was the public which had come for this free screening.
Correct.
So they were already pumped.
They were already
pumped up for it.
And thank
were,
you, Yazdi.
They'd already walked halfway to the movie. Yes.
Right, and these are the folk that, you know, bring their refillable packets of popcorn to be refilled for
no,
your
yes,
charge.
No, you didn't rescue that at all. The snobbery came right back.
Okay, let me start again. So what surprised me the most was everyone around us was laughing hysterically, and I honestly probably belly laughed maybe once.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that was because of Richard Ayoadebe. He was the one that I think impressed me the most, along with Rosemary DeWitt. But, you know, Richard Ayoadebe probably sounds familiar because he was the director-writer of Submarine, the film Submarine, and now he's acting.
Yeah, I liked him because maybe he was the least familiar amongst all four of them. So his shtick was a little bit unusual and unique. So yeah, I mean, I liked him. I was really disappointed with Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller and mostly Jonah Hill. I mean, Jonah Hill has absolutely nothing to do in this movie, but I mean, not that anybody does. One other thing which really bothered me about the script, and you know, many movies do this, is they don't fully realize the possibilities of the plot. I mean, here you have a storyline about a monster slash alien being that can take on the shape of anybody by killing them and literally taking on their skin, right? I mean, this provides an uncommonly rich setting for exploration. You know, any person around you could be the alien. You know, you could mint this for all manner of tension and paranoia or even humor from it. But the movie just does this 5-minute, you know, superficial attempt at, oh, you know, one of us might be an alien. And, you know, it kind of helps steer the plot a little bit towards the end, but not in a big way. So they should have just taken this and run with it. So it also seems like a missed opportunity. I mean, I think it was there. It somehow just didn't cook.
Okay. Yeah. And I keep, I mean, yeah, that would have been very much like The Thing. But I think the comedic potential for that, like you say, Esty, was through the roof. So, yeah, missed opportunity.
Unanimous pants. Shall we even bother scoring this one? Yes, why not?
I guess we have to.
Okay, Yasti, you go first then.
So before I score, there's one other peeve while I'm pooping all over this poor movie. I think this movie's biggest crime is it does not know what to do with as finely tuned an actor as Rosemary DeWitt. I mean, why bring her on board and then not have her do anything? I mean, her character is just completely dispensable. There, I got it off my chest. Okay. In terms of my overall thoughts, I think this is actually an okay film to watch at the back of the plane if you've seen everything else, you know, on your little television screen while you're midair. I think, unfortunately, the movie, though, is the very definition of mediocre. It's not bad for sure, but it's nowhere near being good or even remotely inspired. It has a few sparks here and there, but otherwise is a completely lukewarm enterprise through and through. I give it a very generous 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm at the 5 out of 10 as well. I think that's a very generous score. I mean, I think the movie, we've discussed its many failings, but it relies on these really vulgar, stupid gags, and none of the humor is clever. We don't need to have clever humor, but it needs to be funny. It either needs to be funny
or slapstick.
Or slapstick, yeah, and it achieves neither. So 5 out of 10. You know, it's the watch, more like the what. The WTF.
This is a bad comedy. Don't watch it.
So I really feel.
I like this half as much as I like Spider-Man, and I gave Spider-Man a 4 out of 10.
Oh.
I'm going to give this one a 2 out of 10.
Really? Oh, it wasn't so horrible.
It was bad.
Yeah. You know, it was a really well put together ensemble cast. I mean, this had great potential. And like you said, Yesdy, what is Rosemary DeWitt doing here? How did she even get signed up for this? Like, what was her agent thinking?
I think she's trying to make the jump from independent to mainstream.
Don't do it this way, Rosemary. We love you right now. You like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, considering her great performance in My Sister's Sister.
In everything. I mean, she does TV brilliantly. And I mean, this is a fine actress. I love her to bits. It's horrible to see her so underutilized.
Me too. I mean, Rachel Getting Married, United States of Terror. I mean, she's in so many. She does just amazing work. Mad Men. I mean, she does amazing work all around. And, you know, you bring her on board and she has, I mean, I bet she was embarrassed even, you know, uttering that dialogue that was given to her. But
so apparently, just, I know we've wound up the
I think we spent way too much time.
But I just wanted to say, one of the things I found out was that a lot of the film was actually improv'd. And I think you could tell because every time Vince Vaughn came on, he just shouted and tried to make it funny.
I mean, we took improv classes and you know
that's
hard. Well, sometimes it just doesn't work. But the benefit that they have on film is that when it doesn't work, do it again. Why put the scenes that don't work into the movie? And so much of it didn't. But anyway,
don't watch this.
Yeah, it gives Costco a bad name. I bet they're ashamed that they ever agreed to be a part of this in a big way. But
Anyway. All right, our next movie then is Savages. Rashmi, you can introduce this one.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this one. So, Yasi, you're the only one that saw this one of the three of us. So Oliver Stone brings us Savages, a story based on a novel by Don Winslow about two Laguna Beach entrepreneurs, one a peaceful and charitable Buddhist, and his closest friend, a former Navy SEAL and ex-mercenary who run a lucrative homegrown industry raising some of the best marijuana ever developed. Sounds like weeds. They also share a one-of-a-kind love with the extraordinary beauty. Life is idyllic in their Southern California town until the Mexican Baja cartel decides to move in and demands that the trio partners with them. When the merciless head of the BC and her brutal enforcer underestimate the unbreakable bond among these three friends, with the help of a reluctant, slippery, and dirty DEA agent, wage a seemingly unwinnable war against the cartel. So like I said, the screenplay is actually by Oliver Stone, Don Winslow, and Shane Salerno, and this stars Taylor Kitsch, Aaron Johnson, Benicio del Toro, Salma Hayek, Blake Lively, and John Travolta, amongst others. So yes, yeah, I'm dying to see this one. Should I rush out and see it?
Yeah, you should. You should get in your car right now. I really think this is the kind of film that Oliver Stone should have been making all along. You know, like Brian De Palma, James Cameron, and a lot of other directors, Oliver Stone is really a very, very highly accomplished B-film director. I mean, they can do really good, nasty, you know, over-the-top stuff. And when Oliver Stone abandons pretension and the need to make important statements in his films and just goes for savage, ruthless, hyper-violent fun as he does in this film, he truly soars. I like this film a lot.
Wow. And Yasti, so I saw that this is 2 hours and 9 minutes long. How did that play out?
It's not a problem. I mean, that's one of the things about the movie is that, you know, I think more than the length, I think the violence in the movie might put off a lot of people. But from the first shot of the film, which is set in beautiful, sun-kissed Southern California, the movie just directly kicks into fourth gear and does not let up. And, you know, there is... You know, from the cast, you can tell there's you know, they're the three main, you know, actors in the middle. And then there's this huge surrounding supporting cast. And you know, the movie is constantly in overdrive. I mean, it can barely keep up with the events which are unfolding in front of it. So I didn't have much time to breathe. And the movie actually never really even stops for much commentary or, you know, looking at the flowers, so to speak. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like Natural Born Killers, which is another Stone movie that I felt was 2 hours of being shouted at.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I've seen Natural Born Killers, and I think, I actually think Oliver Stone is trying to make some statement in that movie about, you know, about how we live. And that movie is way, way, way darker than this one. I mean, this movie is very violent. I mean, the movie starts off with a scene which is going to turn off a whole bunch of people in terms of how violent it is. But there's this dark, dark humor underneath all of the violence. And so it doesn't get as depraved and as nasty as Natural Born Killers does.
So it's even though it goes to some pretty, idea.
Pardon me?
It's having fun with the idea.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, he just, everybody here is having a ton of fun. And the most unexpected turn from anybody in this very accomplished cast comes from Salma Hayek. You know, I mean, she just, I mean, I haven't seen her do anything like this before. And yeah, we know that everybody is corrupt and everybody will sell their soul for easy cash. And you know better than to try and figure out who is double and triple crossing whom. But you really don't care after a point because you're having such a great time. I mean, even John Travolta in a role that, you know, on the face of it, I wouldn't think of hiring John Travolta to do. I mean, he comes out aces in that particular role. So, I think if you resonate with the frequency of this movie, this will be like super fun for you. It'll be like a great amusement park ride. But if you're turned off by the movie, then, you know, it's not your cup of tea.
So a lot of criticism has come about the movie's ending. I don't know the ending. I just hear in a lot of reviews that the movie's ending is either a disappointment, a joke, or just extremely annoying. How did you feel about that?
It's all of those things. And I think that's why it's so brilliant, because because Oliver Stone really messes with you. And I don't want to say anything, but he really messes with you. And, you know, yes, I could be annoyed by it, but I actually was not annoyed. I'm like, oh, good for you. I mean, I didn't see it coming at all. Anyway, I don't want to say anything, but no, it didn't bother me. It added to my pleasure of the film. Okay. Because it added kind of this cleverness to it. And I also like the fact that this movie it gets away with a lot. And I mean, chief amongst them being, you know, this Blake Lively character who is living with these two guys. And she has a very, very laid-back, bohemian, very physical relationship with both of them. And the three of them seem to live in this blissful harmony. And somehow it doesn't look or seem silly. It seems very believable. And maybe it's these actors, or maybe it's how you know, the movie almost chooses not to comment about it at all and just faces it so matter-of-factly. I mean, it's not something you've seen much in any movies, kind of, you know, a girl and two guys cohabitating and living, you know, in relative peace with each other. So I really liked how that
was Sister Wives.
Kind of.
That's the only place I've seen it.
And, you know, and the other bit I like is, you know, it finds sympathy for everybody. I mean, when Benicio del Toro comes on the screen, I mean, he just crackles with unpredictable energy. I mean, you're really, you know, your heart is in my mouth saying, oh my God, what is this crazy person going to do next? But even he has some humor about him. And best of all, you know, Salma Hayek, who plays this really badass, you know, south of the border drug cartel, you know, Dawn, you know, even, you know, the movie finds time to sympathize even with her, who, poor woman, you know, has better luck connecting with emotionally with this girl she has had abducted than her own disaffected daughter, who wouldn't give her the time of the day. So, you know, you actually feel sorry for her, saying she has a better relationship with somebody she has abducted than with her own daughter. So, you know, when it works, it all works. It really worked for me.
Okay, sum it up for us, Yasti.
You know, I really appreciate how creative Oliver Stone gets with the end of the film, with the beginning of the film, with the middle of the film. I realize this is based on a very popular novel, which I've actually started reading, and I've only read the first couple chapters, and it's nothing like the movie. So I commend them that they're taking a source material and kind of adapted it for the movie, and it makes my appreciation for it grow even more. I actually think that we need more films like Savages playing in our cinemas right now, which are unpredictable, which are not cookie cutter in the slightest way, which take you on a wild ride. And, you know, what could be greater praise than having said that? I mean, I say go see it. I give it 8 out of 10.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reviews have been very mixed. So I'm going to say I trust you more than the other reviews. We should go see this one.
Really? You trust Yasti more?
Well, he was wrong about Dark Knight, but I did promise to shut up about that.
Okay.
That's true.
So we will book our next Sinopolis visit.
All right.
Two Savages.
Then on to our third movie of the week, Trishna. So I'll give this a very brief introduction. This is based on Tom Hardy's classic novel, Tess of the D'Urbervilles. I think I said that right. And this story has already been adapted for the screen back in 1978 with Roman Polanski's Tess, a movie that was very well received, one that I think I've seen, but it was so long ago that I can't remember much about it. And I'm probably glad I didn't, because this was a dark movie. The story itself is a tragedy, and that very much comes across in this movie. So the basic premise is Trishna lives with her family in a village in Rajasthan, and as the eldest daughter, she works in a nearby resort to help pay the bills. The other character, Jay, is the wealthy son of a property developer, and when he starts managing a resort at his father's request, he meets Trishna at a dance and their fates cross. The movie is directed by Michael Winterbottom, and the writing credit is actually given to Thomas Hardy, so I'm not sure that Thomas Hardy himself did the screenplay here, because it's very different from his original book, but nonetheless, only Reshmi and I got to see this one. Yasti, have you seen this yet?
I have not. I've been wanting to see it, and I missed the screening, and I haven't seen it. I really want to, though.
Well, wait till you hear our reviews. Okay, so for me, this feels like a really difficult movie to review, because I like the premise, and I love Frida Pinto, but the film didn't quite rock my world. For me, it was too Bollywood to be as deep and passionate and powerful as it needed to be to take you to the next level, so it just became a bit meh. It didn't feel risque.
Oh, interesting. I actually connected with this movie a lot. And so for me, it became a very powerful movie about a tragic life. I think the whole film was necessarily carried by Frida Pinto. They cast her here very well. A performance, I think, did much to convey much of the emotion of the movie. This was very much a movie from that character's perspective. So I thought this worked really well. It just went to some really dark places.
Yeah, I think... See, this is Poor Girl Meets Rich Guy. It's a story that we've seen done many, many times, but I didn't get much depth from Rich Guy. And the reason why I find you know, the reason why I found out that it didn't quite go where it needed to go is apparently that a lot of the dialogue was improvised, and I think a killer script would have done this justice.
I think the problem's a little more fundamental than that, and I'll just say this before I let Yazdi talk. The original source material, Tess Dubervilles, had two lead male characters, and they have combined the two in this one guy here in Trishna. So there is a point in the movie where this guy exhibits some kind of schizophrenia, and
right.
I think he's kind of two characters mashed into one. You don't understand the way that he will behave in any given instance, and that was very off-putting, I think, more so than the dialogue, which I didn't have a problem with in the same way that you did, but I think the story itself was let down somewhat by trying to, I don't know whether it was budget, whether it was just an artistic decision, but for some reason they put two very different, you know, caring characters and evil characters into one guy, and that is problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but I recall reading the same thing, that the two main male characters have been merged. So it seems like something which is a very deliberate thing that they've done. It's also very deliberate, of course, to take a story, you know, which is set in England and replace it in contemporary rural India. So I think that somebody has a very deliberate reason for making this movie and making these choices. And unfortunately, I don't know enough about the original source material. I haven't read the novel to know if, you know, what that buys them in terms of making these decisions.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, we've seen this, you know, Hollywood-type story done Bollywood with Pride and Prejudice, and Gurinder Chadha did a great job, I think, with that. But this one, I did love the setting. I think Rajasthan or more rural India was captured really well, and I loved the scenes of Trishna living with her family. But there was so much room to expand the narrative of rich versus poor, or the problems that females have in rural India, or the cultural divide of Indians abroad versus those raised in their home. I think those things weren't explored enough, and maybe that's because I'm of Indian origin,
yeah,
that I kind of wanted more of that.
As the non-Indian movie waller, I thought those things were dealt with quite well. I mean, I think it wasn't very heavy-handed in that, but there was definitely a sense from my perspective of, you know, it being a very patriarchal society. We see the behaviors that her father exhibits and almost how he treats his daughter as somebody that needs to bring income into the house, as opposed to, you know, him wanting to take care of her in kind of the Western paradigm. So, you know, there was very much that Indian village mentality that came across to me.
So for me, that piece didn't work. And I think that had there been more depth around that versus, you know, spending time on a pseudo Bollywood dance sequence that we really didn't need, I think it would have made for a better film. Now, this is a long film. This is actually, you know, almost 2 hours. It's 117 minutes.
It's about average these days, isn't
it? But it felt like the beginning seemed to take forever. And then the middle,
yes,
and the end just seemed rushed. And nothing really seemed to happen at the end other than the same scene that played again and again and again. So it really felt like Groundhog Day to me towards the end.
It does come to a slow boil, I'll give you that. But I think it makes the final act more impactful. And I think the pacing of the movie was deliberately done because, you know, we're seeing this girl's romantic vision of the world slowly erode into something different. And as the movie's tone starts to shift from this kind of, you know, kind of life is rough to, you know, life is terrible. I hope that's not too much of a spoiler, but it's tragedy. The deliberate pacing of it, I think, and the intensity of that final act, I think, is what really drove the message home. I mean, I left the movie theater actually kind of winded, almost unable to speak because of all the occurrences in that final act. So it was a tough movie to watch emotionally for me, but that's mainly because I'd been led to believe up until that final point that this was kind of a gentle, romantic, old-fashioned kind of story.
And you're a sensitive soul.
And I am. I'm getting soft in my old age.
Oh. So Michael Winterbottom, the director, he always likes to mix it up in his movies. I mean, I've only seen maybe three or four of his movies, but they all have such a different tone. And I think he just likes to mix things up just for the fun of it. So, you know, so I think this might be his idea of, well, if I'm going to, so he did a previous adaptation of of a Tom Hardy novel, Jude the Obscure. He did a movie version of it before, and I think he probably likes the story enough, and he just wanted to say, well, wouldn't it be fun if I said this in Africa or I said this in India or whatever? And so I get a sense of some experimentation which has been done with the movie, and so I actually want to see it, you know, even yeah. based on the discussion you guys have had.
Yeah, okay, let's sum this up then. Joe?
So I find it hard to recommend this movie unconditionally. I mean, it is a tragedy, and so you have to be in the right frame of mind to kind of quote-unquote enjoy it, because it's not really a story to be enjoyed, it's one to be experienced. So, I mean, I guess that's it in summary. I mean, I admired the movie more than I enjoyed it, but it's one that I think was done well enough for me to say, you know, go see it if you have an interest in it. 8 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it's generous 8, but I think it's worthy of it.
Yeah. I just before I sum up, I do want to say I think Frida Pinto may be in for a shout with an Oscar nom for this
one. Oh, we didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was brilliant, and I think she carried this movie 110%. I mean, I had Slumdog Millionaire was not for me a good assessment of her performance, because it was a Danny Boyle movie and it's so strongly directed that the performances are necessarily, you know, in line with that. But here she had to carry the weight of the entire movie. She had to carry its entire tone, and there was not one moment that I was unconvinced by what I was seeing on screen based on what she was doing. She was a fabulous actress.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the camera just absolutely loves her, and in all the movies since Slumdog Millionaire, I mean, she just lights up the screen. But I've been waiting up till now for her to kind of blow me away as an actor, so that makes me want to go out and see it even more.
Yeah. So here's my summary. I think this film should have moved you to tears and evoked passion in your soul, but it doesn't. That's not to say that if you like Bollywood type movies, you're not going to get something out of it, just not so much. So I think I'm going to give this one a 6 out of 10.
I can see why. I can see it's not a universal recommendation. This is a dark movie. And I think the audience was kind of stunned as they came out of it, because it was in a Landmark theater. So we have to account for the slightly older demographic here. And the movie is shocking in places. I mean, it's absolutely... It's shocking. It's hard to deal with. And so, you know, a lot of people came out a little dismayed by what they had seen, a little stunned by the strength of the movie. And so, yeah, it was really hard to gauge people around us. Well, mail@movieworldlaws.com as always for comments, twitter.com/movieworldlaws, facebook.com/movieworldlaws as well. Rashmi and Yazdi have both been writing on our website, so do check out movieworldlaws.com. For not just podcasts now, but for various written articles, etc.
Yeah, we're doing some smaller reviews via text now. So some smaller independent movies we're getting access to. So have a look if you're interested.
A great movie that we watched, Kumare, one of the screeners that we received. Yazdi, I don't think you've seen that yet, but do check that out as soon as you can and let us know what you think as well.
Definitely.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me
as well.